Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the On Deleted Word podcast. I am Dara Dara, your host.
This is actually the final episode of this season. Oh, no. It has been a great season so far. I've really enjoyed sharing with you all the different topics and just hearing your thoughts and opinions as well. Last episode, we obviously discussed entanglement, and you all seem to really enjoy that episode. And we spoke about being Christ's bride and how we're in this betrothal period in which we have to remain committed and faithful to our bridegroom. And if you remember, I also asked you all to consider what entanglement you may be involved in. So today we'll be discussing how to get out of those entanglements and how to avoid even getting into them in the first place. These are entanglements with earthly commitments and the ways of the world. Obviously, you spoke about Will and Jada as a little example, and I thought, because I'm not married, it would be nice to sort of get someone else's perspective on this topic and just to give insight into married life as well. So I have a very special guest here with me today. Hello, Mummy.
Hi, Dara. Hello. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you so much for taking up my offer to be on this episode. And I do hope that everyone will be blessed by this. For those of you who don't know, my mom's name is Funke. You can call her Auntie Funke or whatever you want to call her, or yeah, Dara's mom. Yeah, so hopefully this will be an enlightening, educating and encouraging episode for you all, and you'll be able to gain something from it. If you'd like, get a piece of paper or your notes app on your phone ready to make some notes and learn from this episode, the act of disentanglement. As usual, we have a cheeky little introduction. So Mum, would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Like you said, my name is Funke, and I've been married now for 24 years, woo-hoo. 24 years, and like Dara said, she's my daughter, and I'm proud to be part of this episode. Mm-hmm. I've got two other wonderful children, and I hope my experience in marriage would be able to relate to what we have to discuss today as we work on in this way. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mum. So let's get into it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1-2 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." A person called J.B. Phillips gives a memorable translation of this same text again. I'd like you to listen very closely. "With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him, acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity."
Amen.
So I think that it's a big text and there's so much to uncover in that. And through this discussion, I'll try to bring out some few little things that I was able to learn and through my research as well. But obviously trying to make it quite applicable to us as well. And from this, I can see that there's a lot of emphasis on our mind. The transformation comes by a renewing of our mind and how we think. And as I've already said multiple times, the battlefield in terms of Christian lifestyle takes place in our minds as well. Mm. Proverbs 4 verse 23, the Good News Translation says, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." And so every behavior that we have is usually motivated by our belief. And every action that we then proceed to do is promoted by the attitude that we have. So with that in mind, if we want to change our behavior, we need to also take a look at our beliefs about it. And if we want to change our action, we also need to review our attitudes towards it. So to give a practical example, I know a lot of people want to lose weight. I know in the past, my mom has also wanted to lose weight. that's the behavior that you want to change. But it, then your belief about your weight is going to affect whether or not you're able to actually carry out this change in your weight. If, for example, if you believe that your weight is fine and it doesn't matter, you can be, you can have a BMI of like 40 and it doesn't matter. Like it doesn't mean you're unhealthy, something like that. If you believe that, your behavior will live up to that belief. And as a result, even if you're trying to maybe stop eating a lot of junk here and there, because your belief isn't really strong in terms of you believe that eating healthy is a good thing and you want to have a healthy body weight, you won't bother. And after a while, you lose the willpower to actually want to change your lifestyle habits to lose the weight. Is what I'm saying making sense? Yeah. So willpower will produce a lot of short-term changes, but essentially, because your belief system says otherwise, you always have this internal stress going on within you with what you want to do and what you think is right to do. And yeah, so comes again to entanglements. What do you believe about what it is that you're doing? If you feel like it's great and there's nothing wrong with it, you carry on doing it and you have no desire to want to actually change that attitude. Yeah, exactly. What I'm saying is that it's very important to deal with the root cause of this entanglement that you're in. Last episode, I talked about how I was in an entanglement myself, and I would tell myself and try and say that I will change by not talking to the person as much, or maybe reducing the amount of time I spoke to the person. And this was able to produce short-term changes, but I think it led to like a constant internal stress, and because I had not dealt with the root cause. So until I hit the nail on the head and actually decided to face it head on, then change was able to actually happen, and I was able to then disentangle myself. Because it's very easy to revert back to your old ways. And if it's you trying to lose weight because you don't have belief in what you're doing, you haven't dealt with the root cause, it's so easy to just slip back into buying it away. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that is why it's very important to change the way that you think. And so in terms of that, you need to think about your entanglement in the same way God or Jesus would also think about it. And as I said before, Jesus is the bridegroom. He's the other part of this relationship that we're in. And so it's very important that we align our thoughts with his thoughts about what we are doing. So yeah, now I'm going to let my mom have a bit of talking and sharing with us. As I said, we'll be discussing how to avoid entanglements and steps to becoming disentangled in whatever entanglement that you are in. So the first step that we have is make a commitment. Mom, could you tell us what it is to take a commitment? What does it mean in terms of marriage and life in general?
Thank you, Dara. I would say making a commitment. So how did I come to making this commitment about getting married to my heartthrob? So you've decided to marry this person. That is after you've probably gone out or dated for a while. Tried, tested, and you've seen, oh, this is the person that the Lord has, they have decided to marry. So to make a commitment, you've decided to have the outward show of love by committing and getting married. That is after you've gone through the stages of knowing that, oh, this person, I'm always thinking about this person, you love this person, you want to show to other people that, you know, I'm with this person. And that includes, you know, outward show that you love to spend time with them. You have a good way of communicating. You know, sometimes you have to see yourselves every day. You make plans together.
Yeah.
You think alike. Mm-hmm. You want to make the other person happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get to this stage and you make a commitment, you make that outward show that you're going out with this person, there's no secret in it, that you want everyone to know that this is the person you're going to marry, this is the person you're going out with, you know. So that's you. And when you come to that stage of making a commitment and getting married. And that the same way goes for us as when we've come to discover ourselves and who we are in Christ, and we decide to say, oh, I'm committing to give to Christ, I'm giving my life to Christ. Some of us have baptism, which at for sure of it, we do a baptism, we are immersed in water, and then we say, oh, I've decided for Christ, and we want everyone around us to know. So there's it's almost like a complete turnaround or a gradual one, but you want everyone to know, oh, I'm a Christian. Whatever discussion you're making probably will probably end up in talking about Jesus Christ. Is it probably going to end in you testifying about something that, you know, God has done for you, or an experience or an encounter that you've had with Christ. So there's no secrets in it when you come to this commitment with Christ. So I just want to see, you know, that correlation between giving your life to Christ and how you want everyone around you to know, oh, I have a new life now. I'm free. So the same way with marriage, you're happy to be with this person. You want your day to start and end with this person. You share everything. You communicate. You express your love in so many ways. You want the other person to be happy. You know, you seek to do what makes him or her happy. And then, you know, you stay true to your commitment. When you've come to this point, you've made your vows as you're getting committed to one another. You stay committed, you know, you don't let your mind wander.
Yeah.
In marriage, you see, you, although you are committed to this person, you're married to this person, a young man would see other ladies around. Mm. But when you remember your vows, the step, the commitment that you've taken with this person that you've chosen to spend the rest of your life with, it keeps you in check. You keep going back to that vows, and you want to stay true to them. So when that happens, you know you stay focused, and then your mind won't wander from the main focus or the person that you've chosen to commit to.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it's so important. I think, like, because of so much around you, it's so easy to allow your mind to wander. And linking it again to this relationship that we have with Christ, it's so easy to allow our minds to wander because the things of this world are so enticing. And it's almost like, of course, as you said, like a married man or woman, they see other people and they're like, oh, you look gorgeous. No, keep your mind focused. This is your wife. You have a good thing at home. And and don't lose it all, throw it all away because you found something that is glittering. Most of the time, it doesn't even end well in the end.
Definitely.
So linking it now back to the key text in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, it's telling you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. And in other translation, it tells you to present your whole self, not just some aspects. It's telling you, like, your whole life, your health, your studies, your relationship, your finances. Present it all to God. And I think a lot of us, what we like to do is put our lives into different segments and say, okay, God, you can be in control of the spiritual aspects, even though it's supposed to be the whole thing as a package together. You give yourself only. Yeah, in the same place, probably in a marriage, you don't just say, oh, we're only going to talk about, I don't know, say we'll only talk about our love life or something. And then you don't talk about maybe your children or how you're going to sort out your finances. And as a result, things can start to fall apart.
You have to talk about, that is why even in marriage, you don't keep any secrets in marriage. There's understanding, there's mutual understanding. So we have the same purpose. We have the same people. If we want to help people, we go do it the same way. We agree on what to do together. And even when we don't, we agree to disagree, you know. So I have to make myself clear. So it's everything, your body belongs to the other, you know, things like that. So everyone, both our families, our friends, we belong together. So it has to be everything all together in the relationship.
I think a lot of the times, in terms of being fully committed, a lot of people are a bit confused of exactly what it is they want, even though they have made the decision to be with someone or decision to maybe follow God. And so you can see that a lack of focus is a reason to hinder people from being fully committed, or confusion, sometimes fear as well, and pride can hinder people from being fully committed. I was having a look at one of my favorite books I've already mentioned many times in this season, The Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. And in this book, he says, if you don't surrender to God, you surrender to chaos. And I think that is very, very important in terms of having that sort of focus. Because if you don't surrender to God and what he wills and what his plan is for your life, you're going to surrender to the opinions of others, the expectations of other people, to resentment, to fear, to pride, to your lust and to ego. And once you start moving in all those different directions, it's chaotic. You lose that focus and you lose what you're meant to stay committed to in the first place. And what I found really interesting about this text as well, it's telling you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, when they have sacrifices, they're usually dead animals. There's blood everywhere. It's dead. There's no way when you put this sacrifice on the altar, it can't move. It's going nowhere. But now we're told here to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. The fact that it's a living sacrifice means one day it can decide, I'm going to fall off this. I'm just going to crawl off it because I'm tired. And a lot of people get to that stage where they're tired. They don't want to really, it's a lot of effort. And so they just crawl off the altar. So because of that, the act of surrendering is not just one, you do it one time when you maybe make that commitment, like, oh, here's the wedding day. You put your ring on, you say it to everyone. It's now a day in, day out.
Daily renewal of vows and living out.
Yeah.
The commitment, the vows,
living it out. We're living sacrifice, and essentially in this case again, you live for God in whatever you do. In Luke 9 verse 23 we are told, Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So you have to do it. It's a daily action, as we've already said. You obey and trust God's word, even when it doesn't make sense. And some examples in the Bible, we have Abraham, who decided to trust God's word in terms of where he should go and reside, about his child that he told him to kill, like his only child. He trusted God, even if it didn't make sense. Hannah, she trusted God when he said he was going to give her a child. And she's like, I'm barren, that type of thing. Joseph as well, with his brothers, we discussed earlier, he trusted God and in the end God came through for him. And we need to also have that sort of approach in terms of our commitment to God. Let go and let God.
It's funny you bring up the story of Isaac and Abraham, because also the same way in marriage, you know, you go into this commitment, you don't know what the future holds, but just go in faith. Knowing that with this person beside you, you're able to storm whatever comes before, you're able to weather the storm. And the same with our Christian experience, and like what we're discussing, we just have to go on into this journey in faith, because we have God, our partner with us, who is able to see us through and stay way for us. So we just go, we take our fear, like you said, pride and everything, we bury it, and we just go, we launch on in faith, holding on to God in our faith to see us through this journey.
Lovely. Thank you very much. I think we've really talked about that point fully. Just to summarize that all again, to be totally surrendered to God and linking it back to our entanglements, it might mean that we do something that's inconvenient. It might be unpopular. It might be costly or seemingly impossible. It will sometimes mean doing the opposite of what you feel like doing. But it's very, very important to remember that you have made a commitment and you have to live up to that commitment that you have made. So moving on swiftly, we've already sort of discussed this point, but you need to pursue authenticity. So this is remaining true to yourself at all costs. So when we were thinking about this point, we thought about Will and Jada's relationship. And Mom, do you want to talk about a bit more about this?
Well, that kid and Rule situation is a very funny one. And you know, going back to this, like you said, getting rid of the mask.
Yeah,
both of them. They looking at them from our side, and all the stories we have about them in the social media and all of that. They seem to be very happy couple with lovely children, mm-hmm. having everything going on right for them. Yeah. They've been married for so many years, and they're always coming out happy on the red carpet, yeah. and all of that. So this was a very outrageous revelation when I saw that interview.
Yeah.
And I couldn't just take it in. You know, the same way where we go to church, we put on our best smile, we talk about all these really beautiful relationship and experiences with Christ, mm-hmm. but within us, we know that our relationship with Christ is not what it used to be when we started on this Christian journey. Yeah. Or that you know that there's something that you're holding on to that is not making you to have this full commitment that you ought to have with Christ. We know it within ourselves and God. Mm-hmm. And the same way this couple, Will and Jada, I see something good in it that we didn't know that, but they within themselves, they know that something isn't going right.
Yeah.
But they talked about it. You know, they discussed it. They didn't, you know, keep it from one another. Yeah. And I think that discussion about it helped them. They opened up to one another. And it helped them to be able to evaluate where they are in their relationship.
Yeah.
And be able to see that, you know, can we move on? Which I think they actually did. A lot of fairness and, you know, communication went on there. So the same way, we just have to be true to ourselves. And the one we have a relationship with, the one we have a commitment with, Jesus Christ, we have to be better. He, funniest thing is, he knows us. He knows that side of us. So we have to be true to ourselves and just get rid of the marks that we have on, confess our sins, and ask him to help us out. And there's so much forgiveness that he has. He has anytime we want to retrace our steps back to onto him.
Lovely. Thank you so much. As you said, it was so weird when it came out that they were in an entanglement. Like, entanglement? Because there's this song by J. Cole, one of these artists, and we always sing, oh yeah, you want that Will and Jada type of love. And if we knew that this was the type of love that they had behind the scenes,
if only we knew.
We would not be singing the lyrics with so much passion. And you say, it's so easy to show that and display that outward commitment to God, but in reality, like, our commitment to God has actually crumbled. So it's very important to that we do remain true to ourselves and stay open to the one that we're in a relationship with. Because I feel like the whole point, like, when we do find ourselves in these entanglements, Satan will want us to feel so distant and to make us feel as though we cannot approach God anymore and we can't turn around. But that's far from the truth. Like, we always have the opportunity to go back and turn back to God because he loves us so much, like, unconditionally. And it's just amazing. I was reading even about them, the Smith family, and she said that she has now reached a place of unconditional love with her husband. I'm not sure to what extent that might be, but when I think about the unconditional love that God has for me, it makes me even feel silly to not want to discuss things with him and be open with him. So I think that's important for us to remember. And confession, as you already said, it will bring about our healing and we feel forgiven and we're free. And just knowing that you are free to explore yourself and be vulnerable in your relationship with God is, that really makes a difference. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. I think that links very well to another point that we were thinking of about sin thriving in secrecy. And like the fact that when you don't talk about these things and maybe talk with godly friends, and I specify godly, because it's so easy to go and ask people when you know you're doing something that is wrong, taking you away from your own belief system, your values that you've been brought up with, that we've already talked about. If, for example, I was dating someone and I was considering the fact that, oh, I want to maybe sleep with this person, and I have two friends. There's one friend I know will definitely be against the whole thing. They know that, oh, come on, you're a Christian. You've already decided that you're not going to do that type of thing. And then there's another friend, sleeps around, does whatever, whatever. Now, in terms of trusting godly friends, there's always that instinct that, oh, if I go and ask the friend that is already partaking in that behavior, they will encourage it and
let me encourage you. There's nothing
wrong with exactly. It. But if I know, if I go to the godly friend, of course they'll be like, please, no, you already know the commitment that you've made. They'll remind you that, look, oh, you can't be doing all of that behavior because you've made a commitment to God. I think the same thing kind of even works out in marriages. Like if you're friends with people that maybe have broken marriage.
Sure.
Yeah, and they can mislead you and really direct you down the wrong path. So it's very, very important to also be very mindful about the people that we keep in our close circle, because they can obviously influence a lot of the decisions that we make. Yeah.
It's very important. Especially that is why you have to make your partner, well, say your husband or your wife, your best friend. And like you said, we have partners, we have accountable partners.
That's the one.
Partners that would keep us in check, you know. And this is very important, like you shared, godly. Yeah. Has to be godly counsel. Also, studying the word of God and knowing God's purpose for us is also very important. Yeah. I think that's also one of the ways that we can be committed, being prayerful. Mm-hmm. Being open and prayerful, and studying the word of God, the Bible. And that is how we can know His will for us, and even in our relationship. So all these things will help us to stay true and committed, and also to keep sin from thriving.
Yes, definitely. Stop sin from thriving. I was studying the book of Hebrews at the moment, and it was talking about hidden sin. It talks about hidden sin hardens the heart, and it's almost like because the sin, you've hidden it so much, it continues to thrive and thrive, and before you know it, you become dull to your senses and what you know is true and what you know is right. So it's very important, as you said, to search God's word and sort of retrace our steps back to Him as well. Address the issue head on as of when you can.
Yeah. Like you said earlier, that you go to the root cause, the root cause of the problem.
Yeah.
When that is discovered, we are able to stop it in its tracks.
Yeah.
And it doesn't spread beyond what it's supposed to.
Yeah.
So like in marriage, there are so many things that can lure you away from your commitment to God, like you discussed earlier. So for example, you just bump into probably someone you've dated before. You made the a final commitment.
Have you bumped into someone like that before?
Dara, don't ask that question. No, I have not.
Go on.
So let's say, for example, you just bump into someone that you've probably dated before. If there's no secret between yourself and your husband or your wife, you're able to freely discuss it, or, you know, in such a way that if it ever happens that he gets to know, when once there's no secret between you, you know, it has no meaning. But you see, the moment you hide things, it gives the mind the reason to wander away. So this, once you nib it in the bud, you stop it, and then it's not able, you don't encourage any form of association with your past. The same way, giving your life to Christ, you've done away with all things. We become new creature. Then you don't go near the things that you know will lure you away from your new life in Christ.
Thank you very much for that. We definitely touched on this next point in terms of be mindful about your influences And two key things with regards to that. Guard what you let in. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, we're told, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So you may have good intentions. You may know what you believe and what you trust. However, the company that you have around you can sway you otherwise. So it's very important to choose the influence that you have around you very wisely. Secondly, we're also told to guard what you put in. I'm sure I've... if I got a pound coin for how many times I speak about this verse, Philippians 4, verse 8. Think about what is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, anything that is praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. If I got a pound for every time I say that, I'll be very, very rich. Because it's a good way to monitor what you put into your system.
Yeah, good fundamental.
I think so many times we try to think that we're very invincible, that, I can watch whatever I want to watch, I can do whatever I want to do or be around whatever I want to be around and not be influenced by it. But that's the easiest way for Satan to deceive us into thinking we're invincible, and then before you know it, you've fallen.
Yeah.
You're entangled and you don't know how you got there in the first place.
Yeah, you're so right, because I just like to give an example. You know, driving to work every day for over 1 hour, most times you listen to all this music, and before you know it, you're not singing it, but by the time you listen to it a couple of times, you just find that once the music comes on, your mind is there and you're probably just singing it at the same way. I'm not the one singing it initially. It just came up on the radio. So, but before you know it, you're in it with them, and your conscious, you're just singing it along with them. The same way, you know, when you flirt, I would say, with sin and things like that, when that is why you have to be careful of the things around you. You have to guard the things that goes into your mind, into your body, and all around you. Because before you know it, just like you said in the first episode about Mrs. Lot or the Lot family, before you know it, you're right into it. Although you didn't start it, but you know, gradually you just find out that you're right in there, and then it becomes difficult for you to, you become so entangled, and it becomes so difficult to entangle yourself. So that is why it is very important for us to be mindful of the influences around us and what we're putting.
Definitely. Thank you. So the last point in terms of avoiding entanglements or even getting disentangled from whatever entanglement we are in right now is repent and place God in the rightful place. I hope we've all had time to sort of think now in terms of what our entanglements are, and become aware of what is that thing that is taking God's place in our hearts and causing a threat to this betrothal period that we're in whilst we're waiting for God to come back again. In the Bible and just generally in Christian lifestyle, you hear the word repent a lot, and repentance. And it means to turn away and ask God to help you to place him in the right place where he belongs. When you repent, you change the way you think. You change the way you think about your lifestyle. You change the way you think about the sin you are committing. You think about it in the same way God thinks about it. God doesn't like that sin, and you as well, you shouldn't like that sin. You agree with him and say, no, that's not how it should be. During my Bible study recently, I learned something key, that confession means to say the same thing. So when you're confessing your sins, it means that you say the same thing that God says about the sin. So whether it's lying or whether it's stealing, whatever it may be, that sin, when you confess, you're saying that I say the same thing God says about this. I say it's bad. God says it's bad. I say it's bad as well. I don't think about it in the way the world thinks about it and thinks that, oh no, lying. It's just a small thing now. Nothing will happen.
You don't excuse it.
Yes, exactly. So repenting means to also just take on Christ's outlook and perspective. To sum everything up now, we have a choice: confirmation versus transformation. And we are told to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The choice is ours. As Christians living in today's society, we must think differently. Pop culture and the world's manner of living is in rebellion against God, His will, and His word. In a way, you can say we become transformed by beholding. You may be asking, how do we behold? This means that we spend time with God. And the more time you spend with God, He's able to transform us from the inside. And whatever changes happening on the inside will then outflow to the outside. And it will be an authentic transformation. This is a side note, but I think it's very interesting to see how after a while, the more married couples have stayed together and the more time they've spent together, they start to look a lot alike. And that's a bit scary. I don't think my parents have reached that stage yet. But and so they've spent a lot of time with each other and they've obviously started to transform. And so we are transformed by beholding. And so it's very important to spend time with the right things, the right influences, spend time with the person we're in a relationship with, God, so that we can then be transformed. When we conform, we experience the best that the world has to offer us, but then miss out on the opportunity for God's best, like God's best for our lives. And I think it's just a shame to see a lot of people settling for less and focusing on the temporary things of this life when God has just so, so much to offer us. When the Bible says that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, the Greek word for transformed is metamorphosis. And I'm sure a lot of us might have heard this word before, metamorphosis. And that is used to describe the change even a caterpillar goes to then become a butterfly. And that's a beautiful imagery to sort of have in our minds. And it's a beautiful picture to sort of describe what happens to us spiritually when we allow God to direct our thoughts and our lives. As I said earlier, we are changed from the inside out. We become more beautiful and we are ready to just take on the world and what it has to offer. And a lot of these concepts were discussed in the book of The Purpose-Driven Life. So if this hasn't encouraged you, make sure you try and read this book because it has so many gems again in terms of how we live our lives. One final example, again, you have Daniel, who as a young person, like myself and a lot of you all that may be listening, he was taken captive to a new place. You can say that city was in rebellion to God's expectations and what how they were meant to be living as these Hebrew boys. But in Daniel 1 verse 8, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he will obey God. And this meant obeying God, even if it means going against the tide, going against popular belief, going against popular culture, even if it made him unpopular, because it definitely made him unpopular and people wanted him dead because of that. But he purposed in his heart. And so I want us all as well today to purpose in our heart that we would decide to surrender our lives fully unto God, to trust and obey him, because that's the fruit of surrender. And as I said earlier, present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. When we present our bodies to God, he's the one that makes us holy. So don't think that you have to come to him in a holy state. He's the one that's able to then burn away our impurities. And he's the one that will do the disentangling for us. But we have to be willing. We have to present our bodies to him. Because I'm not going to lie, it's not easy to get rid of these entanglements. And it's hard. You living as a young person in this society is hard because the ways of this world is so enticing and it's so easy to just slip by and not, before you know it, is like you're tangled, like the your earphones, if you still have like wired earphones, it's all tangled. You don't even know when it happened and it's all tangled. But when you are willing to realize that, oh, this isn't right, and you want to make it right, you present your bodies to God and he will, it says it's a reasonable sacrifice, is a reasonable service, meaning it's logical. It makes sense to let God direct our lives because he's our creator. It makes sense to let him take the wheel. And so that's all I have to share today. And I've basically said my take-home points. So, Mum, can you share your the undiluted word take-home points?
For me, I would say, how can we be here on this earth and not be of this world? But we have the assurance of the Holy Spirit to be with us, is available to guide us. And also, let us know that no matter how entangled we might be with all our entanglements, let us know that forgiveness is ready for us anytime we are ready to retrace our steps back to God.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. So once again, to reiterate, the steps to being disentangled or to avoid entanglements: make a commitment, remain true to yourself, discuss it with the person you're in the relationship with, which is God. Remember that sin thrives in secrecy. Be mindful about your influences. Repent and place God in his rightful place. And lastly, purpose in your heart. Those are the undiluted word points for this final episode. Once again, continue to ask yourself and consider, is your life patterned after the mold of this world? And what areas of your life are you holding back from God? And choose today that you just let him take control. And when you think about being in this world but not of the world, I heard this quote and it was like, a ship is to be in the ocean but not allow the ocean to be in the ship. And as Christians, we are also that ship in this world, but not allowing the world to get into us. Mum, could you just give a little short prayer for us all?
Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to share your word and to have an experience with you. Thank you, Lord, for every listening here. I pray, Lord, that you will be with us. I pray, Lord, that you will continue to show yourself mighty on our behalf. And Lord, even as we are in this world, Lord, I pray that we will not be of this world. I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to lead us and direct us, and that will continue to help us that we stay true to our commitment with you. Lord, I know that you are always there to help us. You are always there to hold our hands, even when we are afraid, when we are unsure of the future. But Lord, I know that you're also available for us. You've also promised us all the help that we need for us to navigate our ways in this world. And I know that we are not alone. And so, Lord, I ask that you continue to lead us, and that you continue to be with us and show us your way. And that when you speak to us, we'll hear you. May our lives continue to be in you, so much so that when you come again, we'll have a place with you. And our journey on earth is over, and we'll have a place with you in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for having me.
Once again, I'd like to tell you all to follow the undiluted word _ on Instagram so that you are aware of any updates that will be coming up in the upcoming months. As we've come to the end of this season, the second season will hopefully be coming in the next few months. So follow us on Instagram so that you're aware of any updates with regards to that. And for any bonus episodes that may be released in the time being, make sure you check out www.theundilutedword.com for blog posts that will be coming out in the next few months as well. I've released a Christmas gospel playlist to get us into the atmosphere for Christmas. I've been enjoying it, and some people have already been enjoying the songs on there already. So make sure you're not missing out. If you've enjoyed this season, let me know which episodes were your favorites, and make sure you also share with your friends and family. Spread the undiluted word with anyone and everyone. And if you also feel like these episodes have blessed you in one way or another, please write a review on Apple Podcasts, just so that more people can be encouraged to also have a listen and hopefully have their lives transformed by the word of God. So till you hear from me again, which is hopefully not too far in the future, continue to read the word, be educated, enlightened, and encouraged. Stay blessed, everyone. Bye-bye.